It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a hangover. You could join the chat room, the Den 10. Go to davinsden.com and click on air. The number to call, 84. No, you can't call tonight. I'll explain that in a moment. Because starting last year, this year, the way we start every fucking year. I am your host, cursing in the first 10 seconds of the show, Davin Rosemud. I am here. Pip is in her confinement unit.
Yes.
Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be here when Joe gets here. So, Happy New Year, all. On the show, Joe's Santa Hell gigs. It's always fun.
I can't wait to hear these.
Hopefully they were terrible. I always root for the families. The Lake Superior State, a list of banned words. Always fun when we do that. New laws for 2020, drunks in the news, and the best foods to fight a hangover. A brand new scamming scammers with a brand new scammer, Mary. And on the Afterbirth show, what?
Yay!
Oh, and on the Afterbirth show, trends from the past decade. And we'll talk about whether we liked them or not. So, what's the problem now?
Well, I went to the doctor, and they said I have acute sinusitis. I'm not finding it that cute.
Uh-huh.
I got antibiotics, but they don't appear to be working that well because I've gotten worse, and now I have a fever.
I've often told you need better doctors.
Well, you know, I went to the one, like, there were no appointments. Mm-hmm. I went to the one that was open at night.
Oh.
You know. So,
would you go to urgent care?
The best I could.
Would you go to urgent care?
No, it's one of the offices of my doctor's practice, but they have open hours where you can just walk in and you have to wait for your turn, you know?
Right.
And so I sat there and waited and, you know, I got the antibiotics and everything, but apparently that's not enough.
And how long has this been going on?
I had like cold symptoms throughout the holidays, but they would wax and wane, but pretty much I've spent every weekend in bed and not in a fun way.
Oh my God. You are just, it's continuous with you, your ailments.
I know.
This is not a way to live.
Thank you.
No, but I mean, none of them has said, all right, we got to do something. We got to do a cleanse. We got to do a lifestyle change. You get all sorts of ailments, whether they be internal or viruses, too much. We got to do something to try to boost your immune system so you could start fighting some of this stuff. None of them say that to you.
No.
You got to find new doctors. I mean, with all the stuff that people are doing now to stay healthy and live longer, not in this country, but in other places. I mean...
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy.
So what? Maybe it's time you do some research. on, you know, maybe it's time you cut out red meat. Maybe you go to more fish and veggies and that type of thing.
Well, yeah, I have not been eating the best recently. I do eat those things.
No, of course you eat them. I'm not saying you're an animal, but, you know, we, you know,
no.
In this country, it's very easy to have a crappy lifestyle change. I mean, lifestyle, if you don't watch.
Right. No, I know. And, well, I know that there's lots of things that I can change to help. But in the meantime, I just catch everything that's going down the pike.
Yeah, I would. The first thing, if I were you, I would cut out caffeine. Cut out caffeine and sugar. I bet you'd start feeling better. I mean, it would suck at first. It would.
What? No. Not counting out caffeine. No. I don't think that's what's making me ill.
No, I mean, too much of it. Don't you have a decent, what do you have, like coffee every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Other countries, we live longer. I mean, other countries live longer than us. And we're addicted to our caffeines, our sugars, and our processed foods. We can't get enough of any of that stuff.
Oh, I know. And we're just being beefed up by corporations that don't care about us. They just want the bottom line profit margin.
Well,
so if it's killing us, that's okay. Big Pharma will step in.
Yeah, but being on all the drugs isn't good either.
No. I wasn't saying that was the best choice. I'm just saying that that's what happens.
I don't know. I would find it very hard to have constant ailments. It would. I'd find it very depressing.
It is hard.
I'd be very depressed.
Yeah, it is hard.
And they don't say, you know, try to walk 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. You know, they don't tell you to do any of that stuff.
I know to do that.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying you don't know to do, but I'm saying like these doctors, they see you. They know that they know this is not normal for a woman of your age to constantly have all these various available. They don't make any suggestions. I mean, because I know what my doctor, like first time I'm in there, is like, yeah, you got to lose some weight. I'm like, well, like, dude, I just met you. I'm not ridiculous.
I used to have that, but this group doesn't seem to start with that, which is a relief, actually, because not everything I walk in with is because of my weight, you know?
No, but it's not even just weight. It's just it's just cleansing your body. I mean, I don't do it, but I think working out has boosted my immunity. Not that I ever got sick that much, but I just think it's good because it gets everything moving and everything.
Yeah, it is good. I need first to take a stress test. Because of my heart condition.
That's why I said walking. And, I mean, walking's not bad.
Well, I was supposed to have the stress test on tomorrow, actually. But because I can't breathe to start with, I don't think that it's going to be a good, a valid test.
Probably not.
Yeah, so I had to reschedule.
That happens, though.
Yeah, well, I have to make sure that the stress test is to make sure that the obstruction in my heart is not unduly reacting when put under stress. So that's first.
So your long list of shit. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Your long list of ailments is that's what happens. They start building up. My mom's the same way. It's one thing than another. But my mom procrastinates on stuff too, you know. But it's one thing after another. Once you get behind the eight ball with your health, like, you wait, you go, all right, I'll be okay. I'll get to it when I get to it. Like, my mom needs surgery on her knees. Well, I don't want to do it in the winter in case I slip. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? get the surgery.
I go to the doctor and I take care of things.
Right, but I'm saying it just starts building, it seems.
I know it does. It's called age.
Fuck that shit. I'm old.
No, I got 10 years on you, bro. I am...
Yeah, but but we've been doing this for close to 10 years, and you were sick when you were my age.
I know.
So it has nothing to do with age. Oh, jeez.
No, it doesn't now.
The cough for emphasis. I'll show you. Have some phlegm.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you off.
All right. I'll do more talking. You do less talking. You sound...
isn't that your dream?
Actually, no. I believe on Facebook I suggested otherwise.
What do you mean? Oh.
On your Facebook page, I suggested otherwise to you.
Oh, yes, true.
So, why you're starting off the year by not being here and lying to the folks. That's how you were starting off the year. This is PIP 2020, just shitting on everything.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe's girl is backing me up. She goes, you need to build up your immune system, not give up coffee. Thank you, Joe's girl.
I don't really think that's backing you up. And I tend to think that's because Joe's girl likes coffee, too. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's the root of my evil. So I'm like, oh, no, that's not happening.
I don't think the amount, like, you could get caffeine in, like, other natural foods. I don't think, what do you have, 2-3 cups of coffee a day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many sodas do you have?
Maybe one.
All right. So we're looking at 3 or 4 things of caffeine a day on top of the stuff that's, you know, you just eat naturally. Can't be good.
No, I don't know that that's necessarily that harmful.
But you don't know that it's not. And you're always sick. And you gave up smoking, which probably helped you with the heart.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, had to give it up.
I think it's time I feel like, much like last year, it's time you find different doctors. You know, ones that give a shit. Ones that stop fucking taking it. I hate these doctors that just tell you what you want to hear. And my doctor's kind of like that, but it's like, I know it's a goof. Like, if I ever got really sick, I'd probably have to go to another doctor. But when I get the shit that's essentially walk it off or not, I'm fine with this guy.
Well, I mean, there's a whole system of doctors, so I see them for different reasons in this group. My main doctor is really helpful, but the thing is that she's not always available, and when everyone gets sick at the same time, you can't get in to see them.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, you call up, I'm dying, can I see you? Yeah, not until next Thursday. Well, I'll probably be over it by then, but I'm going to suffer in the meantime.
Yeah, that's
so you got to go to the walk-in thing. So no, you're seeing someone who's never seen you before.
Yeah, but they have your history.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, somebody should look at this. Go, wait a minute. We saw you a month ago. And then before that, we saw you 6 weeks before that. And then we saw you 3 months before that. You know, somebody should go, whoa, what the fuck is going on? We got to do something. We got to build you up.
I mean, if that was true. I don't always go to the doctor if I get a cold.
Okay, all right.
Like,
well,
you know.
But don't they ask you, have you been sick?
I'm not a hypochondriac, but I'm like missing work, and I have this afternoon is 101.4.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, unless they're telling you you got a flu, that's not normal.
No, it's not.
You're a mess.
Yeah.
This could be Pip's last year, everybody. Enjoy her. Enjoy Pip while you can. She's dodged the ass bullet. She's dodged the heart bullet, but she's getting infections. And temperatures very early in 2020. Enjoy Pip while you can, people. Love her. Appreciate her. Remember her.
Love me.
Yes. Love Pip.
Love me.
Remember the good times. You know. And then we'll play the Sarah. Then when you die, we'll play the Sarah McLachlan song, you know, the I Will Remember You song, and that'll be that.
In the meantime, I'll send you some pictures of me with big, wide, sad eyes behind a cage.
Oh, yours are Mr. Helix's Christmas pictures. I look forward to seeing them. I did not get a Christmas card. I look forward to receiving that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll work on that particular version of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just, you know, Wednesday night in the Helix house. Little.
I mean, that is the stuff I got up to. But the thing is that, you know, I don't like to tell everybody that.
Yeah, you talk about your ass. You like to tell everybody everything.
Yeah, I really don't care.
Exactly. All right. Well, had a fucking great time off.
Looks like your pictures were making me totes jelly.
hey, save that for later, woman. Save that for later. But isn't that what social media is about? Shitting on everybody else by making yourself look amazing?
Well, that's not how I usually do it, but...
No, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it absolutely wrong, which is why we had to hire somebody to do it better for us.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been using it completely wrong. My stay, for everybody that forgets, I was in the Atlantis, the Bahamas again, working. You know, I feel like I optimized that. I probably could have had myself more laughing and smiling and done an Instagram story with the audience going nuts behind me. I could have upped it. I definitely could have upped it. But I felt like I put a good amount of, hey, look at me, you assholes. I felt like I really I did that well this time, which I don't normally do. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I appreciated it because I was like, oh, my God, look, he's having a really great time. I'm very jealous.
And even if I wasn't, as long as you think I was, that's what matters.
Now you are a full-on influencer, my friend.
Well, I don't know who I'm influencing, but look at you. You're just dropping Lake Superior State words before it's time. Look at you. You're all hopped up and ready to go.
I'm hopped up, all right. You should see my row of pills. Whee!
All right, so there's much to talk about on this trip. First, you and I, we have many things we have in common, health not being one of them. We have many things that we have in common, though. I feel like you and I enjoy a good buffet. Probably me more than you, but I feel we have that in common. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I love a little of this, a little of that. That's my favorite way to eat.
Yes. Have you ever eaten the food just because you're like, I'm not going to let them beat me on this bill? Have you ever spite eaten? Yeah. Knowing you're destroying yourself, but you're not going to let them get over on you.
I have to say, there have been occasions where I did do that, yes.
So we shall start off with spite eating. We shall start our journey there.
Eating.
Yes, write that down, dear. Email it to me later.
I am.
So, what we did on New Year's Eve, I took the ladies out to the buffet there, which is all jacked up on price. In the past, my daughter had eaten for the child price. My wife screwed up and said my daughter was 12. She's really 13. We really needed to go for 11. 11 was the number we were looking for.
But you know what? She wouldn't pass for 11 anymore.
Yes, she does.
No.
Yes, she does. Of course she does. The way these kids drink milk with fucking the cow steroids in them, and my daughter's being short, absolutely.
Well, you know what? You fucked up.
No. I didn't fuck up. My wife fucked
up. No, you both fucked up because you let her grow.
No, I fucked up because I let my wife speak. I mean, lesson one. Davin's lesson one, 2020, gentlemen. Cut down on letting that special lady in your life talk in public. Nothing good comes from that.
Oh, dear God.
What?
We get letters. We get your letters.
We do. But I don't feel that will be one that causes it. I feel that's good. Because if you think about it, your woman's either going to be right and you're going to wrong and she's going to fucking look smart and that's just going to really build her confidence and hurt you in the long run. Or she's going to be wrong and cause a problem. Where if you just answer regardless, there's no issues.
Well, you know, but I think that if you just go in there and you make the mess, you're going to pay for it longer.
Well, if you're cutting down on your woman's amount of talking, there'll be much less I told you so's. Even though the cause for I told you so will probably rise, the fact is you will not hear it as much.
Oh yeah, there's going to be pain that you didn't even know about. There's going to be stealth hidden pain.
Nah. What you got to do is you got to tear down the woman's self-esteem in 2020. You know, last year was the year of the woman, the Me Too. All that. You guys had your time. It was your time to show. I was on board with you, riding that train, supporting it. 2020, the man is back. Mark my words.
I don't think so.
Absolutely. It's not going to be Me Too. It's not. No. It's not Me Too. It's Men Too. That's what 2020 is. Men Too.
Well, according to, what was his name? Something Gilliam.
I don't know.
Drugged. You have to forgive me. One of the pythons. He was saying, I think he was just looking to irk people. He was saying, oh, it's not everything is the fault of the white man. He was just really going to upset people.
By the way, speaking of Me Too. So, like, on, like, my last show, I have some jokes about Me Too. And, you know, it's not, they're not degrading to women or anything. So I just say, you know, and the whole Me Too movement is going on. And this woman in the back, who I can't see because I can't see the back of the room, goes, watch it. I'm like, who do you think you're talking to? You have no fucking idea who you're messing with. And I just fucking lit into her, much to everybody's delight. So, you know, in the year of Me Too or Me Too women movement, don't fucking interrupt my show.
It's not me too during Davis performance.
No, but I don't need you jumping the gun. Wait for the jokes, you stupid ass.
Oh, yeah, really?
So, I have also come up, and this isn't one of the things on the list. We have to get back to the buffet. I have also come up with something I am now describing myself as on stage when the time is right. When I invariably say one of those things where the audience is conflicted about, and I got a lot of that shit. It's like, oh, those are horrible things, but the jokes are really fucking good. How do we react? You've seen me enough. You know.
Oh, I know.
I now refer to myself as the heel comic. Now, do you know what a heel is?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot
it's
of people.
Guy,
go on.
The guy who kind of like is always in the wrong. He's kind of a jerk.
No, it's not even that. Not even that type of heel. It's really from wrestling terms. And I'm going to break it down to as basic as everybody can. The good guy is the face. The bad guy is the heel. So
okay.
when wrestling was really popular initially in the 80s, Hulk Hogan was the biggest face. Rowdy Roddy Piper and Ric Flair and another wrestling organization were the biggest heels. Now here's
I understand.
The heels are the ones who are generating all the heat, all the interest. Because, you know,
right. Back
in the day, and then I'm giving a little wrestling lesson, until Stone Cold Steve Austin came along and kind of was like walked the line between bad guy and good guy. Like he would do things that traditionally a bad guy would do, but he was still a good guy. Until then, you had say your prayers and eat your vitamins, brother. You had Hulk Hogan, which everybody adored. And then there was like Rowdy Roddy. It was very defined. And
right. Everybody,
and I've talked about this before when Roddy Piper passed away. Everybody loved Hulk Hogan. I love Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Because he was the one stirring the pot. You know, and I said he had the quote, which I love, just when you think you have all the answers, I changed all the questions. Love that. Love that. Love that.
That's a good line.
It's a great line. And he had one from the movie, I think it's called They Live. I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Great lines.
Yeah.
So Piper was my. I even told the audience a couple times. I'll hit you over the head with a steel chair. I don't give a shit. I said. I go. Listen. This is the only place in this resort where we're not going to kiss your ass. I'm not powdering your ass, people. I'm not getting paid enough for that.
That's hilarious. Did they laugh?
Of course they did, because they're buying in. Because a good heel controls everything.
Right.
A friend of mine who does some of the house MC work. There's another guy, Naughty. He does it regularly, and there's Mark, who does a couple nights a week. Who is the former owner's son? Unfortunately, the former owner passed away. Great guy. I had posted about him on Facebook, but he's seen me through the years and everything. And we're just talking one night. He's like, he goes, the way you antagonize everybody, it's masterful. The way you walk the line. But of like pushing buttons, it's like you're dangling babies off a cliff. You know just where that line is.
When to pull that over the banister?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I could see that. I could kind of see that. So
I like that analogy.
Yeah. So I 2020 is the year of the heel, people.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Well, I mean, I didn't realize. I mean, we had talked about wrestling so that I understood it before, but I didn't realize that was the term used. And once that was said, I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense.
The heels were always much more interesting. Rowdy Piper and Ric Flair were always more interesting than, say, Hulk Hogan and Sting. Who were big faces, you know, huge money. Always more interesting. It was only until Steve Austin and The Rock came along where you started having these guys walking the line, which made wrestling a lot more interesting. Was the second boom. But yeah, I've always enjoyed the heel work, and there's not a lot of heel comics. We've talked about this before. Most comics want to kiss your ass.
Yeah, they want to be loved.
They do want to be loved. And I want to be loved, but I want it on my terms.
That's pretty funny. I mean...
But it's true. You know me.
I know. It's true.
It's like, we're going to do shit, but we're going to do it my way.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah, see? All right, back to spite eating at the buffet. So, so I take them out. There's a tax on everything there. When I first started playing the resort, there was no value added tax. Then it was 7%. Now it's up to like 12%.
Holy crap!
12% tax on everything, on top of 15% gratuity on everything at the resort. So you're paying an additional 27%.
That's obscene.
That's what it is. So this bill came to for the three of us. Give me a ballpark, Pip. Give me a guess what a buffet for three adults was.
Is it lunchtime or dinner?
Dinner, New Year's Eve.
Oh my God! Oh, you paid through the nose.
And out the ass. Ha ha. Give me a guess.
No, was there any liquor?
Oh, I didn't hear that. No, there was no. We did not order any liquor. This was straight up buffet.
Okay, just straight up buffet for three people. Oh boy, I'm gonna say $350.
Oh, okay. All right. $240.
Wow, what'd you have?
Well, I am there on a mission.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, but I meant no. What'd you have on the bill?
$240.
Ooh, that, you know what? Okay, I'm really overpriced. I would suck on the Price is Right, by the way.
Clearly. $240, so now after my discount, it's like $211, but still.
Still?
Yeah, so I am going to go for like the prime rib, the lamb chops, stuff like that.
Oh, yes, you are. You're going to be that person that is battling... A battle to the death over crab legs.
Oh, yeah, yes. I was just thinking crab legs. You ever see that when the Chinese buffet has crab legs and people fucking pile on the crab legs like it's crack? They can't get it. It's like, dude, how many crabs had to fucking die just so you feel like you squared it up with Mr. Chang over there?
I know. And they stay online and they fight with each other over who goes first and who's taking too much in their estimation.
And I've never had a crab leg, so... The buffet wins with me. Now, is that we've talked about this before, I'm sure. I mean, we've been doing this long enough. The bad moves at the buffet. You don't go for the pastas. You don't go for the rices. You don't go for the breads. That's where they get you. The only type of carbs you go for is you go for dessert at the end.
Right.
You can't fill up on the bread stuff. It fills you up, and it's not high it's not high cost. You got to go in to win. Otherwise, stay home.
It's like, what are you doing? You can get mashed potatoes any place. What are you doing?
Yes, you understand me. That's why they have rice plentiful. How many rice dishes do they have at a goddamn Chinese buffet? Regular rice, pork fried rice, vegetable fried rice. Enough with the rice. All right, how about some lo mein? Chicken lo mein, vegetable lo mein. You motherfuckers.
I know.
More ribs.
So many.
So my daughter said she wasn't hungry ahead of time, but it was time to eat. So she's got a plate of macaroni and cheese, maybe some like potatoes, she got chicken nuggets off the kids.
No, child, no.
Like two pieces of sushi? She loves sushi, two pieces? Are you fucking kidding me?
She doesn't know how to do it right.
No. And it's New Year's Eve, so I'm not going to start a fight. So now I have to eat for two.
Right. It's a mission.
It most certainly is. I'm like, you know, I could have left an hour earlier. I'm not usually a gavone at these buffets. But I'm like, you know what? Let's just keep on trying to top it off. But still, I did not eat until I was sick. I just stayed a lot longer than I needed to.
Were you beached when you were done?
No, which is how I know I did it wrong.
Oh, no, you did it right.
No!
That's the big win, dude. You spite ate, and you still came out not hospitalized.
No, but I left, as the old saying goes, I left too much on the table.
Oh, no.
And for some reason, I got a slice of pizza, which I knew. I knew that's an error. You don't need the slice of pizza. Get another lamb chop. Get more sushi. I know you want the pizza. Back away.
How many times have you yelled at me about buying crappy pizza when I live in this area?
Yeah.
And you got pizza on a cruise.
No, I wasn't on a cruise.
Well, in a resort.
Yeah, but here's the difference between you and I. You're in this area. You can get good pizza. I'm not getting good pizza there.
No, you are not.
But as we all know, bad pizza, like bad blowjobs, are still better than no pizza and no blowjobs.
Yeah, but you could have waited for pizza when there was filet mignon.
Well, there wasn't filet mignon. There was prime rib. I had the prime rib.
Prime rib, awesome.
I even had, like, the roasted leg of lamb, which I've never eaten before. You know, I did okay, but I left too much on the table. You know, I couldn't win at those prices. Not with this frame.
No. You would have to be a moose to be able to make up the enough, especially if you have one barely eating party in the party of three.
I didn't even make up for me. It was, you know, they beat me, Pip. They beat me hard.
Now, how'd the wife, did she do? Did she do you proud?
No! No, I mean, she was better than my daughter, but no! Just a complete, utter Rosenblatt family failure. A lousy way to end the year as far as eating is concerned. The food was good. Don't get me wrong, but you're going in there with a mission, and you don't even fucking come close. It's like running a 5K and pulling up lame after 1K. Why even bother? Shoot yourself. Why show up? Why'd you wake up early? You've embarrassed yourself. You better home, staying on the couch, eating Kraft macaroni and cheese than fucking trying to run when you can only make it 1K. Same thing for me. Might as well have just gotten an overpriced pizza at the fucking marina and called it a goddamn night on New Year's Eve instead of embarrassing myself like that.
Well, you know, I totally understand because we have made the mistake of going to a restaurant close to us on New Year's Eve before, and there's, you know, a price fixed menu. So it's the same stuff that they offer the rest of the time, but it's jacked up because it's New Year's. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Elix and I have looked at each other and said, why did we do this?
Well, if you really like the place.
We do like the place, but it's right down the street. We could eat there any average Thursday.
Yeah, well, you're not making it special. That's a mistake by you guys.
Yeah, that was. It was.
I mean, New Year's Eve, you do something special, something nice. You treat yourself.
This year we went with a group, and we went to a nice restaurant.
Oh, nice.
And we didn't eat crazy, crazy amounts of food because it wasn't a price-fixed menu. It was what was on the menu.
And also, so in your defense, you're with people who will judge. It's not just you and Mr. Helix. You don't need these because God forbid you get a little bit more. You don't need these people judging. You fucked out. I understand.
Oh, I don't think that any of the people that we were with would judge me.
Trust me. Trust me. They're judging everything. You're judging them. Trust me.
I don't care what they eat, really.
No, but everything. You know, listen, if somebody all of a sudden ate a lot more than usual on this night, yeah, there'd be a conversation with Mr. Helix on the ride home. Did you get a load of Jennifer over here? Holy shit, what, she got a tapeworm? Never seen that before. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez must be thrilled. There's less cows on the earth now. She ate 1.5 of them. There'd be a conversation.
There would be a conversation if we were splitting the bill equally. But we were not.
Not splitting the bill.
No.
But that's better, though. That's better.
Yeah, we paid for what we got, and we were not drinking, and other people were having cocktails, and, you know, got, like, you know, hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and so it was like, we paid for what we ate, which was, I thought, grand, you know? I mean, it was still expensive for us for an evening, but it was not anything untoward. It was certainly not like the price fixed menu places, so we did good. I mean, I was not feeling great that night, so it was just like, okay, drive me there, sit me down, feed me. We will watch some music. Well, now I can go home and sleep.
Yeah, you have an excuse. I mean, you were working hurt. That's fine.
Yeah.
Although I'll tell you one thing. If I'm taking you out at $80 a pop and you still want to go out, you're gonna fucking work through that. Now, you're not at $80 a pop. You're not using an illness as an excuse at a buffet.
Oh no. Oh, no, we're gonna be sitting there for a while.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, wait, you're gonna trough it. You're gonna fucking trough it.
It's gonna take me a while because I eat slow, but I'm gonna do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, we've buffeted together, us.
Yeah.
I am not a slow eater, but I am also not one who piles it on my plate.
No, I like to go back and peruse. I like to go work the room, see what's going on.
Schmooze it.
Then. What?
You're like schmoozing. Hey, what's at the fake Mexican little section over here? Ooh, a fake Chinese section. Let's see what this is about.
Exactly.
A little egg roll and quesadilla action on your plate.
I have to jog the room, make up my like plan of action, and then I start piling.
All right. Well, I have to decide
when I'm going to go back and when I'm going to get.
I feel you handled your New Year's Eve properly.
Thank you.
Considering how ill you were, I feel you've done good. I feel my family's a fucking disgrace, and myself included. But I feel good with your efforts, to be honest.
Thank you. I mean, we really could sit them down and have a talk.
We might have to. All right. So that was the buffet and spite eating, and still I came up a big loser on the last day of the year. Okay. We did something. We've been to Atlantis a bunch of times, but we've never done an excursion off the resort. So they did something where you get on a boat and you feed wild iguanas, swim and pet nurse sharks, and feed swimming pigs.
Oh my God! How cool!
Yes, my wife's like hemming and hawing because it was very cost prohibitive. But you know, I said, who knows when we're gonna go back. You know, you'll have the memories.
When are you going to get to pet swimming pigs again?
You know, I know a lot of fat chicks that can swim. That's fine.
Well, I was just going to say any resort full of Americans, but...
Oh, there it is. There it is, Pip.
Actual oinkers?
She hates America, ladies and gentlemen. Pip, not only the most racist person on the show, hates America. We get letters.
I'm not wearing an American flag pin, so I must hate America.
You do. So, I was like, listen, you want memories with our Dory? This will be a memory. We did it. For the three of us, what do you think the cost of that was? It's an all-day thing. You leave at 8, you get back around 4, 4:30. So here's what is included. Besides the pigs, the iguanas, and the sharks, which are on three different islands, you also go to another one for a buffet lunch. And then you go out to a sandbar, which is in the middle of the ocean, and you could stand there and you see an island. So, you know, it's an all-day thing on like a motorboat. They could put about 20 people on the boat at a time. What do you think something like that cost the three of us?
Wow, that's a lot of stuff going on.
It is a full day, so you can't bitch.
I mean, they feed you. They bring you to three different islands for three different
activities.
No,
five different. No, four islands and a sandbar.
Four
islands and a sandbar.
Wow. Oh, God.
And you drive by Johnny Depp's home, where they filmed some of Pirates of the Caribbean. Tyler, by my home, I mean island. These are all private islands.
I knew he owned an island. I didn't know it was down there.
Yes. Tyler Perry's private island.
Holy crap.
And the island that used to be of the drug kingpin Pablo Escobar, which is now owned by the Bahamas, where they pretty much tore everything down, but his former place in the Bahamas. So there's a lot to see there. You're not stopping there, but you're driving past that stuff. So it's a full day. It's a full day.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Holy crap. For three people?
Yep.
Ooh.
And they let me get away with my daughter paying the child price. So that was a savings of $100.
Oh. A savings of $100.
Yeah, so I'm giving you a little clue there.
God, I was going to say like $200 a person, but I think that's too little.
Give me a guess.
Like $750?
Close to a grand.
Oh, wow.
We've gone on whole vacations for less than that.
I know. So have I.
But.
Wow.
You know what?
But it was fabulous, right?
I think it was the highlight of the trip for everybody. Besides, you know.
Yeah, I was looking at your pictures of standing there with the sharks, and I thought, oh, look, he met up with some agents.
Ha, 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 ha. Pip Helix. Har, 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 ladies and gentlemen.
Look, I'm working hard. I'm bringing my best.
Yeah, and oddly enough, that's better than when you work healthy. So,
I know. I think I need to be sick for this show.
I think you make me sick. Anyway.
So, I was thinking, wow, he really brought it, and he's, you know, doing all these really fun things. I had no idea how much they cost, though. Wow. Well, yeah,
nothing. Now, this was not the most expensive one. There was a place that was sold out that was less expensive, and there was more expensive.
I guess
for essentially the same thing. So first you feed the iguanas. So they give you, like, white bread, you know, which is what they find in the wild. And you put... And you put it on a wooden stick, and you hold it out, and they take it right from the stick. It's the coolest fucking thing. I put it on my Instagram, Davin Comedy.
Do they snap at you?
No, they're very friendly.
Wow.
I mean, they didn't snap at me, so they, you know. What? So.
Do they try to walk on you?
No, they're on the fucking island. What am I, a fucking plank? I'm standing there.
Oh, I see.
I'm standing there with a piece of bread on the end of a stick. I'm not laying down trying to cuddle. These are wild iguanas, not the shit your friend has in his fish tank at home.
No, yeah, no, I know. But I just wondered if they got so tame from people coming up and feeding them all the time.
They do know to come. I mean, they recognize, oh, fucking people, time to eat again. Because, you know, there's just constantly ends of these fucking trips coming in throughout the day, so...
Oh, yeah. Are they overly fat iguanas?
You know, I really don't have much to compare to. I will say this. They probably could handle a buffet better than I can. But I don't think iguanas are the abject failure that I am. So.
But they would definitely go for the starches.
Yeah. That's true. That's where they would lose. Yeah. All right. So that's the one. Next up was... I think it was all of our favorite, swimming and petting nurse sharks.
Oh, cool.
They are, you know, you're in this water and they're just all around and they're kind of chumming the water and they swim right by and you can pet them. They kind of feel like a cat's tongue, like that type of texture.
Oh, now are you going, you're like petting them like from fin to tail?
You can.
Direction?
You, well, yeah, I'm going from head down, but you can just grab them by the tail or a fin. They're all around you.
Are they bitey?
No. Well, I mean, to the food, but not to us, not to humans.
I guess you're just too big because they're little sharks.
No, they're quite large sharks. Excuse me.
Really?
Oh, easily much longer than me, some of them.
Oh, my God. Were you scared?
No.
Was anybody scared?
I there was a little boy who was scared. And my wife said, oh, it just feels like petting the cat's tongue. That's where I got that from. And then the little boy jumped in. I don't know. You know, we're brave people, Pip. We are brave people. I am a warrior. A warrior princess. But a warrior nonetheless.
Yes, I've been holding back about telling people that, but I'm glad that you admitted it.
I do. You know, you know, 2020, I'm laying it all out there, folks. New decade. No, it was pretty fucking spectacular.
That is amazing. That is totally worth it.
Put video. I don't know if I put video of that up there. Put pictures of that
up
there.
Yeah, you
did. Did I?
Yeah, but they looked smaller in the water.
Where I was in the water with them?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what I put up.
Yeah, so I didn't have a good feel for how big they were.
I tried to put up as much stuff to make all you creeps jealous as I could. That really was the mission of the tour.
Well, I was. But I was actually really proud that you weren't having a bologna sandwich in a dark room vacation.
Hello, the family didn't stay the whole time.
I know.
You know.
Rest of the time, you bologna sandwich in the dark.
Not most of the time, but there was bologna time. There was bologna. Once the family leaves, it's bologna and turkey and peanut butter and tuna time.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's bologna and tuna time?
No, not together.
Oh, okay.
So then we went to the Island of Pigs, which is where I frequented in college. But
hold back. I don't like to refer to Manhattan that way.
Oh, hey now. So apparently there was a pig keeper who lived there, and he raised these pigs for years, but he died. So these are like the pig's descendants. So you just walk up, and you give them carrots, and you feed them, and the pigs will swim in the water and take a shit in the water. And apparently they bit some people.
Oh.
They were very large. They were very large pigs. But
are they like you can pet them?
Yeah, as they're walking by.
Do you dare pet them? I mean,
that's very
bitey. They are bitey.
It's very bristly. Unconditioned pubic hair. No. I killed her.
I think so.
It's very bristly, but we did get to hold a piglet, which was adorbs.
Oh God, I love them.
I don't think I posted a picture of that, but I have pictures of each holding a little piglet.
Oh, you know, that is really, really sweet. I mean, they're so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, lucky.
So, that was it was a good experience. It's going to feel great until the bill comes. I'm like, what the fuck? But you know what? I think it was the coolest thing we did on the trip, and one of the coolest things we've done as a family.
Yeah, you know what? That is really worth the money.
Yeah, because, it was a good time.
Well, you know, people, wiser people than I say, spend your money on experiences rather than stuff.
Yep.
Of course, as a hoarder, I have not really truly embraced this philosophy.
No, I'm thinking, you know, imagine the kick-ass TV I could own for that, and I could watch endless programs. But, you know, and my memory sucks, so really, it's not like I'm going to have this experience that long. I'm just going to vaguely remember that I did something.
Yeah, I have to tell you that in the chat room, not only is Joe's girl here, but our old friend Lisa is here.
Is she lost?
No, she seems to have come here on purpose, which I want to check her for.
You know what this is? This is Lisa just trying to go with, like, the longest, her and Trucker Tom, longest years in, you know, so it's like, this is Lisa's pop-in appearance, you know, to spike the ratings and say she was here. We won't see her until 2021. Lisa Shant's be back.
I don't think so.
All right.
She's telling you that your picks from the Bahamas were awesome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes.
So.
Good to see you.
Yes, it is good to see Lisa. There's no better way to start the year than with Lisa. That's what I say. So.
Yeah, and by the way, Trucker Tom is also on the incredible illness train, so I feel his pain.
Yeah, he's been sick for a while too.
Yeah.
So I've been going to this place working. I should say I've been working this place because I had gone like once or twice before since like 2013. I think that's the first time I went, beginning of 2013, and they've come with me every year except for that first year. So we had pretty much decided this was going to be it because it's just so cost prohibitive, especially with my daughter going, well, I don't want to miss camp in the summer and I don't want to miss school. How about we do Christmas break, you motherfuckers? and that's what I put in for, and they give me it. But it's like, all right, we decide, you know what, this is it. We're done. This is it. You know, so the first day we're there, it's kind of windy, you know, we go but onto the beach, but it's not that great. Then you get a couple of days of rain, and there is nothing to do at Atlantis at rain. I mean, they're like, oh, how about some Scrabble? How about you fucking entertain me at these costs?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Scrabble?
It blows. The Atlantis is great if you want to hang out outside, do watery things, see animals, all, you know, see life and everything, play on the beach, play in the pool. Amazing for that. Terrible if it's rainy. Terrible.
Well, I'm just thinking of those old vacation camps in the Catskills. Like, go to the big house for some charades.
Yeah, but there's no charades. Like, they did play, like, bingo. They had, like, bingo for the kids for, like, 20 minutes, but whatever.
Oh, dear.
So I'm like, all right, we're going to get out of here clean. This is going to be good. That all changes after a couple days of nice weather. You know, we'd come back. I'm like, you motherfuckers. That's why I'm taking the gig. But my daughter's very specific. She wants to go during Christmas break, but she no longer wants to stay through New Year's because she wants to do stuff with her friends who didn't do dick. Every year, I wanted to hang out with my friends. They don't do dick. But
yeah, right. So, I'm right.
So there's a real fucking small window where I could take them on this vacation. Every year it gets smaller and smaller, and I thought we were done, but they want to go back. And I get it. But, oh, God.
Well, now that you're willing to part with the big bucks and do the, like, super cool touristy things, now they want to go.
Oh, I was touristy, baby. I was touristy.
You were.
So, all right, on to the shows. There's so much to talk about. On to the shows. So, excellent shows. Some of the fullest crowds I've ever seen there. I've been going there for years, working there for years. Before the first show, a man comes up to me and the other comedian, Ronaldo Evans, and he tips us $40 to make fun of his wife.
Oh, my God.
what type of sadistic son of a bitch brings his fucking woman to a fucking fancy place like this and goes, ha ha, so I shall cock block thee self.
I think that's pretty bizarre and a bad strategy on his point, but please do go on. I want to know how this turns out.
Well, for $40, you're going to, like, if you're going to ask me to bust somebody's balls, and you've seen me plenty of times when I'm just standing there and somebody will come off, and you could probably hear my inner ugh, but I don't tell them, you know, as they have a request. Oh, if you could just make fun of such and such, that'd be great. Really? Would it? Would it? How about you fucking kill yourself? I'm not your dancing monkey, but I am a whore. So, if you pay me, I will dance.
I am a whore.
No, I will dance. If money is exchanging hands, I will dance.
I hear you.
So, they're not even sitting together.
What?
They're not even sitting together.
Does he really know this woman?
Yeah, it's his wife, apparently. So I busted her balls a little bit, but then I busted his balls too. But, you know, they got their $40 worth. But it's very awkward to stop your show and just rip it to somebody who doesn't deserve it. But I will do that for $40, apparently. Apparently that's my price.
I'll do that for $20.
Yeah, I feel like I would have done it for $20, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I would have for $20. If it's at $5, I'd be like, I'll take your money, but I'm not going to do anything. I'll take your money, but I'll say, hey, your husband paid me to make fun of you, but it was only $5, so fuck that guy. I feel like I would say that.
Or rather, don't fuck that guy. He's really cheap.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that would be the end of my interaction.
I think that we should be done. And I think that they might be having more conversation about it later.
She was a good sport. Well. She was a good sport.
Oh, good.
So, before the first week is over, like, 3 shows in, we're told they want us back for next Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm getting, like, recognized all over the place in the resort. People coming up to just saying how good it was. And it was cool because, like, my wife and daughter get to hear it. Like, I don't know I don't need to hear how good I am. I fucking know. But it's good. It's good
it's good to have that in front of the fam.
It's good for the mishpacha, a Jewish word for family. It's good for the mishpacha.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm educating in 2020. I hope you motherfuckers brought your tablets and pens and writing shit, because I'm bringing it all this year. but it's good for them to recognize the genius that you have come to recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's nice. So at one point when we're in Exuma, we're at the restaurant, we're eating the buffet. Kid, about 15 years old, I don't know this kid, starts walking up to us. He don't look right in the head. I don't know him. He could be right in the head, but I don't know him. And why are you walking towards me and my family? I don't know what the fuck is going on. He goes, hey, you know, I just want to say I saw your show. It was great, blah, blah, blah. Then he turns to my daughter, your dad is very funny. I go, yeah, she don't believe that.
What did she say to that?
Yeah, she just made a face like I was right.
Yeah, she doesn't believe that. She's like, Yeah.
He's dad. He's dad. I've seen him slay in her room. Yeah, I'm not impressed. Basically, her impression of me, like, crushing in that room was when I went, pussy, 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 and my wife was very uncomfortable with it. That's her.
That's funny.
like the impression from my comedy show is how uncomfortable my wife was about me saying these things with the daughter in the room. That was the impression. My wife, by just looking uncomfortable, overpowered anything I did.
Yes. Well, you know, this is how kids mark their entertainment.
Of course. I don't blame her.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, are my parents at each other? Ha ha.
This was during Hanukkah. There's a Chabad of the Bahamas, and they had a free event, which was very well attended. We went, and I was recognized there a lot. Who knew there were so many Jews at my first couple of shows?
Wow, really? Did they round them up and give them a special?
They round them up and gave them latkes.
You know what? Awesome. I had latkes this year. Awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, they were the frozen store-bought ones, which are fine. Not as good as homemade latkes.
These were homemade latkes by a real Jewish woman.
Oh,
very
you scored.
Exciting.
You scored. You did good.
It did.
Good for you.
I was very excited.
So after one of the shows, I'm getting on an elevator, and a guy who's at the show comes up to me, which is not unusual. He's a cameraman who works for Major League Baseball. He's in town because there's a Caribbean home run tournament that they're doing. I was aware of this, not that this year, but in the past I'd heard about this. Okay. Also with him is a former major leaguer and a World Series champion who was at the show.
No way.
Yeah, 2013 Boston Red Sox World Series champion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm not going to say his name, you know.
Yeah.
Those of you who are friends with me, if you want to message me, or anybody can message me. If you want, I might do it that way, but there's no reason to just blurt it out.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. You're not a name-dropping fame whore.
No, I am, but we took a picture, and he asked not to post it, so I'm guessing whatever.
Oh, he's like me.
I don't even think I know. He went by the name Pip Helix. Yeah, I pitched with the Red Sox in 2013. Pip Helix, you might have heard of me. Oh, yeah, big fan. Oh,
you didn't even recognize me. All of the steroids are working.
Yes. So it turns out he was at the show, too. He wants to be a comedian.
Oh.
So this so it turns out the cameraman and the major leaguer want to be comedians. So he asked if we want to go to the room. He asked me if I want to go and hang out with them. I'm like, sure. So I call up Ronaldo, the other comic, and I invite him along. So we hang out, and the cameraman grew up in the next town over from me, Pip.
No way.
Grew up in the next town over. Not only that, he's done some comedy. He knows a lot of the same people we know.
Oh, my God. How funny is that?
Kevin Israel and Chip Ambrosia, to name a few.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and he still lives in that area.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, was he looking for, like, tips or something?
We were just talking. You know, he had made an offer about some camera work in return for something, which I could definitely use if I could get a professional fucking cameraman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can help him out. So I'm talking to the pitcher, and he spent a lot of his time in Chicago. That's what I remember him from, and that's where he spent the bulk of his career. So he's still somewhat of a big deal in Chicago, and I think he's got a local show. A local late night talk show or something like that. So we just get to talking, and I ask him, and I don't know what it was, but I'm like, you know, what's harder, you know, if a joke doesn't go well, or if you give up a big pitch and a big spot, you know, it's just like, you know, which feels worse, you know?
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, he said a joke that doesn't work bothers him more. I'm like,
why?
I'm like, then giving up a home run with everybody watching. I'm like, there's 40, 50,000 people there booing you as opposed to 100 drunks. Who the fuck cares?
Right.
You know, he's like, well, here's the thing. When I'm pitching, you know, I make a good pitch. The guy hits it. What are you going to do? I gave it my best. I go, all right. That's fine. That's a good way of looking at it. I go, but sometimes you give up one on a shit pitch. How about that? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
No. I mean, nothing. Nobody's perfect. Mariano Rivera wasn't perfect. He made shit pitches. Everybody makes shit pitches. It happens.
Sure.
He's like, yeah, that happens. I'm just on to the next. I'm like, okay.
Right.
But the
really
but
interesting.
But the joke not working. He starts thinking, what could I have done better? It really sticks with him more. I'm like, yeah. I go, you know what? I think that is. I go, because I used to be the same way, and then I got used to jokes not working. No, but. I said, here's my thing. I think you've been doing pitching your whole life. So, though that was your passion, you were great at it. Comedy's new. So it hurts more. Because I remember when we would have bad shows when we started. A bad show would hurt me more. Bad show still bothers me. But now often more, you know, now if there's a bad show, it's more easy for me to go, on to the next. Or I did my best given the situation. It just happens. So
I used to really take it on the chin and then not get past that.
Yeah. I think that's kind of why I think that is. And he seemed amenable to that.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. But you got to look at it like this. Look at how I'm always telling Mr. Helix this when he's feeling down about something and saying, you know, if you don't feel good about something, you know, think about how many people have come up to you and been like, oh, I always wanted to do what you do. And it's like, you know, sometimes...
Bang Pip Helix?
What's that?
They've always wanted to do what he does. I said, bang Pip Helix?
Of course.
I get I get that. Listen, yeah, you might have had a bad set, but you get to go home and bang Pip Helix. You know how often I've wanted to do that? I get that.
Of course. Everybody.
I get it. Yeah.
Remember when what was it? My breasts were...
Supple?
Not delectable.
Supple.
Not supple.
No, your breasts are supple. Don't you fucking correct me, woman. What are you looking for,
the
Joe?
That guy said, you know.
I don't know where the fuck your stand is. I wasn't here.
No, you were there.
No, Joe just showed up and he's looking around for the stand. Oh, no. Go upstairs. Oh. Go upstairs and ask the wife. I got no idea. The housekeeper came over yesterday. Oh, look at Joe. It's like he lost a puppy. He's walking around in circles like he's got Alzheimer's. It's behind me. The poor guy was lost. The first impression of Joe of 2020 is sad puppy-eyed Joe, like he lost his goddamn puppy.
The show prep's on there. The fight argument sheets are on there.
I understand. But I think you could have adapted. I think your improv skills are good enough to have handled that setback.
Oh, my God.
You got it. You're good to go. Anyway, Pip, more about your breasts.
He was just circling like, you know, dogs do to find a good spot to curl up.
No, he really was. He really did like a full circle.
Who is this, Mr. Helix?
No, this is Pip.
Oh.
She sounds like Mr. Helix.
No, I was saying the circle in a place to find a breast. I thought it was Mr. Helix.
No, she's talking about when Mr. Helix gets depressed, mm-hmm. how she'll tell him, go, you know, think about how many people come up to you. And say, you know, I wish I could do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what, do Pip Helix? And that's how we got onto our breasts.
Yeah.
You're caught up, yeah.
You've
missed nothing.
I remember what I said.
Go on, dear.
It'll come back to me.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway, you know, but I'll say to him, you know, look at all the different things that you've done. You've been in bands, you worked on radio, you've done, you know... You've done some cool things, and people go, oh, I wish I could do that. And it's like, yeah, remember that when you're feeling bad about yourself, you know? And it's like you have to say to yourself, look at this. There's major leaguer and a guy who, you know, works camera for some major events, and they want to do what I do.
Yeah, I didn't look at it like that.
You know, it's amazing how a lot of people that do amazing things don't feel like they're worth something.
Well, they have friends like us that... I'm well grounded.
Just a couple of people recently. You know, there's some people in the media and that I know that just they do amazing things and they're like, they feel that they're not worthy of
things. I mean, listen, Sean Hannity has to have a conscience in there somewhere. I'm sure he sat down with you and go, listen, I know I have high ratings and everything. I just don't feel good about myself. And you're trying to pep him up. No, you're doing great things. The president relies on you. Don't worry that you're going straight to hell. Yeah. There you are to pick him up, Joe. You're a pal.
You're gonna have a field day with. You're gonna have a field day today. You're gonna rule the roost.
Why? You don't feel well either?
No, I feel fine. I was just telling Joe's girl at the day program. I battled like a Norseman with just about every fucking buddy and everything.
Got it out of your system.
Good boy. I got no more bad. I'm like a kitten, right?
Aw, that's how we love our Joe.
You could talk.
You want your belly scratched?
Peach, man. No, this, that, and the other.
But none of that's on the agenda.
I know.
It should
that's
be a
good.
Fairly fight-free type of evening. I don't think there's anything that's going to get us really heated tonight.
Even if it wasn't, it's like, well, what do you think, Joe? Yeah, it's nice.
Talking about Iran was not on my to-do list, to be honest.
But like I was telling Joe's girl, I've been battling everybody today. I just want to cuddle.
You know, here's the weird thing. One three-hour show with me would have made you a lot easier to deal with everybody first if it was in reverse.
Yes, the cycle of the day. You know, but that's not the cycle of the day.
But it's not
worked that way.
But they could have got
day
a lot.
Program show.
If this was a morning show, they're getting much better deals in the afternoon.
Oh God Almighty! Yeah, you'll get
whatever you want.
It was my fault. Yeah, you're right. You know.
See, Joanne's mistake was waking up with you.
Well, there was one order I did at the day program. I fucked it up. It was my fault. And we had to move some things around, and I send an email to one of the customers explaining what happened. Knowing that he's usually a prick to deal with when everything is all sunshine and bunny rabbits, he calls me up and rips me a new asshole, and I got to sit there and go, you're right. We'll see what
you
we
didn't record this. Once again, my team lets me down.
You know, I can't believe, you're right. You're right. I go, well,
I've seen you do that sometimes.
But yeah,
not nearly enough.
But no, I said that. I go, boy, oh, boy. I'm waiting for his call because I knew he was going to call.
It's almost like your
teacher going, I'll be calling your mother tonight.
Oh.
And yet you're sitting home watching Happy Days, and it's
not eight, happy for you.
It's 10 after 8, and the phone rings, and you answer, oh, hi. Yes, I'll get my mother. Who is that? It's my teacher. Why are they calling? Well, it's not to see if Fonz is cool tonight. You were fucked beyond words.
Well, as Tom Petty once sang, the waiting is the hardest part.
Yeah.
All right. So, Pip, was there more to that story, or should I move on?
No, I was just upset that I wasn't there tonight because if Joe's being like a kitten, that's my favorite version of Joe.
Yeah, so then you'll take him home. I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So we will close segment one with some discussions about my flight home. And then we'll do segment two. So the first flight was from Nassau, not Long Island, Joe. Not the place where they launch rocket ships either.
How dare you see me licking my chops.
From Nassau to Charlotte. The thing was delayed like 3 hours, but the hotel gave me a late checkout and everything, and they got notified with the app, so it wasn't that bad.
That's all right.
Yeah, because it was going to be a really long day. So the pilot fancied himself a comedian. Ever have one of these pilots that's cracking jokes, making yucks occasionally throughout the flight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's got a side gig.
That's usually Southwest.
What?
That's usually Southwest.
Yeah, they have to because you're flying Southwest. They want to distract you from that.
They do that.
I remember that time.
Thing.
I remember that time we were flying Southwest and we had the layover. We had to change planes, and you could hear the pilot was pissed off when he said we had to change planes. And we had the layer. We all, including the pilot, we get on this other plane. He pulled out of the gate like we were in a Camaro. He was furious.
So he had nicknames for the crew, and he tried some material. He's doing material during the flight.
Is that, like this, good?
Yeah, I'll let you judge.
If you ever want to see ISIS run up an aisle.
The terrorists killed themselves and nobody else. So he's like, hey, I just got some good news. I'm going to save a lot of money on my insurance with Geico.
Really?
Yep.
Just fly the plane.
Boy.
Just fly the plane. This is like going on a station wagon trip with your uncle.
That was very specific. Yeah. To the car.
You
know, the family
you got dopey jokes and shit. You got to sit back there and laugh.
He's got a captive audience. Somebody's going to walk out.
Yeah, I know, but just like, ugh.
So,
can you hit an air pocket and break this up?
Funny you should mention
it. As luck would have it.
So we're going in for landing. About 50 feet off the ground, the flight attendant tells me. All of a sudden, the plane tips. There was a wind shear. So we went like all the way to the left and then all the way to the right.
Got any jokes for that, Shecky? Hold on.
I go, maybe you should work less on the material and more on the
your flying skills.
But it turns out he did good. I guess like it shifted from a tailwind to a headwind or whatever the fuck it was. So he had to go up and circle around.
Oh, he had to take off again.
No, this was going in for landing.
Yeah, but he had to take
off. He had to go back all the way. So like I said, we're about 50 feet and then we're not.
Now if I was flying a plane, I go, let's try that again.
Oopsie daisy.
Yeah. Oopsie daisy.
But that is my amuse-bouche of flying stories.
Wow.
Amuse-bouche is like a small little taste of a thing.
No.
I know you're not like a foodie, so.
No.
All right. I'm going to play, for the first time this year.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh. Straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Oh, Joe. So here we go.
I do good bumpers.
You're amazing. Such a talent. It's a blessing, really.
You got to pinch yourself.
Yeah, every time. It's a dream. It really is. Not a good one, but a dream nonetheless.
Funny.
So my second flight is from Charlotte to LaGuardia, and I got like a four-hour layover. LaGuardia's in Long Island, New York. I got one of those cheaper tickets where you don't get an assignment, and so you don't get
you gotta fight it out.
No, you don't get a seat assignment. So when they show up, you know, if I want to move to an aisle or a window, it costs more money. As I've already talked about earlier, I've blown a lot of fucking money already on this trip.
Yeah.
I'm not spending another $25 for comfort. Nay, nay. So here, so they won't move me up. It'll cost me more. I tell them, all right, I'll just fucking eat garlic and people will move. I'll be fine. Which one of the flight attendants thought was very funny? This was outside.
Oh, you actually said that?
Of course I did.
Funny. I'm an asshole. You're forgetting? What, has that been long of a break?
Oh, I love it. You're beating and calling yourself an asshole.
No, not you, you dumbbell.
No, you. You said you're an asshole.
No, I said because you said garlic. I said you said yes. Oh, I go because you're an asshole.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were an asshole.
No, we're a little rusty here. A little rusty here, folks. We'll give a little bit. Well, you know, we just sat down. Well,
I overestimated the lack of fight you have. You, you lured me in. That shan't happen again.
Yes.
I will not lower the guard.
Yes, sir.
So I got a middle seat. But then there's this couple that is not sitting together, so she asks if I'd like an aisle seat.
Little negotiation will work, yeah.
No negotiation. Yes, fucking sit next to you, man in the middle. I'll have the aisle.
You stretch my foot.
Now I'm flying coach.
Nice.
I'm flying coach. So moving from the middle to an aisle in coach is like dating a three, breaking up with her or him, and then moving on to a five. I mean, it still sucks. It's still no great shakes, but it's better than you were.
Yeah.
At least you're at ground level. Yeah. I mean, you're still a coach. You're still herded like cattle.
It's like being in steerage, but you get a porthole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So things are looking good.
Right.
Why is he playing the turbulent air bumper? All right, we'll get there. So the captain announces himself. Hey, this is your captain speaking. We're heading to LaGuardia.
This one didn't have material?
Well, no, not really, but shit happened. More like when the SWAT team, you and I worked in Alabama and the SWAT team was called.
Oh, good vault.
He's like, hey, this is your captain, Jay Kennedy. I'm like, fuck, I don't like the sound of that at all. John Kennedy Jr. fucking died on a flight and I don't want to go in fucking LaGuardia with a pilot named Jay Kennedy.
Oh, right.
I don't have a good feeling about this at all. I mean, all right, well, this isn't good. We're flying with one of the best teams on American Airlines. Well, thank fucking God.
Yeah.
The motherfucker jinxed himself. You know how, like, sometimes you turn on the news and there's those episodes that are caught?
Yeah.
This was that.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, as I often do when shit goes south, I go, at least I got shit to talk about on the radio.
There you go.
That's how I look at life. You know, Pip goes into week three of illness. She goes, at least I got stuff to talk about. Phlegm, snot.
Right.
Yeah. So, this is going on in business class. I'm about 10 rows behind it.
Right.
There's a disturbance. Apparently, the flight attendant threw a bag at a customer, at a passenger.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what precipitated that, but she throws a bag at a passenger.
Luggage?
No, an old woman. An old bag, you know, a couple cats. Yes, I'm fucking luggage. Stupid. What do you think? The plastic bags that you can't use in Paramus, New Jersey anymore? Yes, luggage.
I don't know.
We're all fucking off our mark. Well, no, Pip's right in where she always is. No. But yes, luggage, dear. Luggage. Apparently, the flight attendant threw luggage of some sort at this passenger.
Oh, boy.
The passenger's like, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah.
A reasonable question. Well, now the flight attendant feels threatened.
You threw baggage
at
me.
I didn't throw baggage at
me. No, not you, you dumbbell. The flight attendant throws baggage at somebody. The person that gets thrown at goes, what's your problem?
And what the fuck? Well, there's a fuck in there from what I'm told.
Well, you know what? If I get hit with a fucking piece of baggage, I'm not like, goodness gracious, what could have caused that? I'm like, what the fuck are you?
Well, you
doing?
Are on a flight, so it'd probably be better to be, goodness gracious, what's going on?
Yeah, because yeah, mine's a piece of cues. But not
yes. Like- it's not like the fucking subway. We go, I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody take a stab at you. Yeah,
exactly. But you're willing to take your chances.
But you got to, yeah, you got to be nicey nice in a plane.
So now the flight attendant feels threatened. Now we're calling the cops on board. Joe just made a look.
Oh,
like
you haven't taken off?
No, this is all still at the fucking gate.
Oh, okay, maybe I thought they were going to parachute him in.
No, then we would have had to fucking turn around.
Yeah.
No, this is still in the gate while people are boarding and shit.
Right.
So now we're delayed. Now we got to wait for the cops to show up. Now, I don't know the cops are coming until the cops show up. They're not consulting me on this shit. Then I go, hey, what's stupid in row 15 on the aisle thing? They're not consulting.
But in your mind, they should have.
Always. This whole situation probably.
Don't you know who I am? I straightened out a flight. We were heading to somewhere we weren't supposed to be going.
The Southwest still calls me and thanks me. So... Now, here's the thing. When the cops show up on a flight, first of all, we've learned there's no air marshal.
Right.
They would have intervened. Here's the thing. When the cops show up on the flight and they're coming for you, you have choices. Your choice is to walk off or to get carried off. Those are your choices.
Yeah, they're not like, yeah.
Maybe it's not like, you know, when they get called for a civil disturbance, you go, all right, calm down. We don't want to get a call anymore. Yeah. Sometimes you could talk to them. You and the missus get on the same page and come bullshit and go, no, this is great. We were just practicing a Mike Tyson punch out and it got a little heated.
No, out in sea.
Yeah. No. When they when they call for you on the plane, you got to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They escort this guy out. He's not happy. This is already after midnight. Oh, actually, no, this is after, this is like around 11 because we've been delayed for an hour.
Ugh.
So he's got to go. Then the captain makes an announcement, you know.
What did he say?
No, I'm just going to leave it there. Thanks for asking, Joe. I appreciate it. See, Pip, you're not the only one who could feed me how to do this shit. Joe can do it too.
Damn.
He essentially said, you know, hey, let's not take pictures and videos of this, which means everybody needs to take pictures.
Did he say that after the guy was hauled off or right while he was doing it?
I think maybe right afterwards, but there's still hubble. I don't know.
Believe me, there's still shit going on. When that happens, Trump's pissed off because there's not enough space for him to tweet because all that shit's going out. I don't know what's going on.
Why is this about me? I should have been on that flight.
Should have been on the flight.
We got to get that flight attendant on Air Force One so I could kick her off mid-flight.
That I could tweet on.
So, and by the way, before I get a little bit further, this flight attendant, a bigger woman, mm-hmm. not huge, but if you've been on a flight lately, Pip's been on a flight lately with me. I don't know if you've flown lately. These planes, they're packing us in. There's less and more. There's less seat room. There's less leg space. Mm-hmm. The aisles are getting smaller. If we're going to make everything small on the plane, the flight attendant's asses have to be part of that. Mm-hmm. It has to be part of the deal.
Right, because if you got to go to the bathroom in the aisle, you got to get past that.
Forget that. I'm sitting in my seat. And I'm getting pummeled by her ass continuously. It's never an excuse me, never an I'm sorry, just a big old ass smacking me in the arm every time she's got to go up and down the aisle. And she has to go up and down the aisle a lot because she's a flight attendant. And
right.
That's her fucking gig.
Right.
So
I totally understand that. I have been beaten by women's booty and breasts in airports. I mean, in airplanes. And they never say anything to you. And I'm like, excuse me, your body parts are assaulting me.
Right. You know, and listen, people go, oh, well, you're fat shaming. No. No, 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 no. Flight attendants are supposed to be there for our safety, which I'll get to more. They're supposedly not just sky waitresses. We've had it beaten into us that these are people that are here for our safety. You know what? You know, if you're here for my safety, if you're a flight attendant, you're here for my safety. If you're a cop, you're here for my safety. If you're a fireman, you're here for my safety. If you're military, you're here for my safety. No more fat asses.
Right.
No more fat asses if you're here for safety. Let's get people that are in shape. Because I know, well, you know, you shouldn't discriminate. Nay, there's a fucking job to do. You know, you don't get to be a doctor. If you're stupid, you don't get to be a doctor just because. No, you're too stupid for it.
I would love to see the court case and you arguing that.
I know.
I mean, the jury did it going, he's fucking right.
Yes! We need to cut down on, and it's not just
a
man and woman
counselor,
thing.
Yeah.
These asses are out of control.
Yeah.
An ass should, you know, it's bad enough the food beverage cart takes up the whole fucking aisle. Now an ass, too? It's too much. I should, you know, I have an aisle seat so I can lean over a scotch. I shouldn't get pelted by your ass constantly. All right.
You know what? These asses are out of control is our new theme.
Well, that's how we've been described.
Yes.
So... So the captain's like, you know, don't take pictures. Bup, 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 bup. And people are like, now people are upset in this section. People are like, why are you kicking him off? She was in the wrong. She was rude to everybody.
Oh, really?
The business class has turned.
Oh, really? You're placing it going, we're late. I want to go home. However, I want to see this.
And as this is going on, video has now funneled back to the girl who's sitting next to me because her boyfriend is sitting up there. So he captured all this shit on video. So now I'm watching this as that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I have in flight entertainment.
Better than any movie. Yeah.
Absolutely. So and people are like, no, you should have kicked her off. Meanwhile, she looks like she's going to burst into tears, this flight attendant. And the captain's like, well, you know, she's been here for 20 years. She's never kicked anybody off a flight before. Yeah, well, today's the day, motherfucker.
Well, it's her first kick. She should go, you know.
But then he's like, well, you know, we can't. We're not going to kick her off because they're there for your safety. And if you think about it, they can't go short-staffed. Then they got to get another flight attendant to come in. They're not just waiting around in the fucking by the Bojangles waiting to get the call in from the bullpen. you know.
Right.
So I get why she had to do the – she looked like she was going to be in tears. I am stunned that this is not on CNN today and Fox News and all that shit. I am stunned.
It's on Davin's Den. That's a major network.
It most certainly is. But they are going to have – because here's what's going to happen. If the guy does not go quietly into the good night for missing his flight and being embarrassed, if he's going to make a stink of it, the airline's going to have to investigate. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to look up the people who are sitting in that area.
Yeah.
And from what I gather, all those people would be like, no, no, he did nothing wrong. The flight attendant was completely in the wrong. She could lose her fucking job.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, if you hit with a bag and you go, what's the problem?
Yeah.
And now you feel threatened?
Yeah.
I go, that's, you're just, you want to question why you got hit by a bag. If I was a guy, I'd sue the airline.
That's where I think this
right.
could go.
I mean, they shouldn't have the FAA allowing these people to be abusive to passengers, and they have all the cards, you know, the deck stacked to them.
And you know what? It's usually in an incident like that, usually the other passengers are like, good, get them the hell off the plane. Let's get out of here.
Everybody rallies.
But if they're like, no, she was the problem.
They're like, yeah, she's been rude to everybody. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was that was my the abbreviated version of my 2 weeks off. I have filled the segment.
Very entertaining. Thank you.
You're welcome. I am contractually done. We will start when we come back. We will start with a little bit of Joe's vacation time with Santa Helgi. So we have Santa Helgi.
I got a couple of stories, but not them. Not enough to piss me off. But
that's all we ask for.
There you go.
That's all. Just enough to aggravate Santa Claus.
Yes.
So on the break, we got new music from Gary and Linda with Popcorn and Perrier. What are you laughing at?
My drawers rode up on me.
Was that the new album, the new Fragile Sky album? My drawers rode. Did you see me representing for you?
Thank you very much.
I have now taken two of Joe's bands overseas.
Thank you.
In t-shirt form.
Thank you.
When I start playing Cold Ones, I might take McClinton somewhere with me. But they will not make it on stage because I don't wear hoodies on stage.
Yeah.
But yes, I donned the Fragile Sky during a show, and I
Thank
made
you,
sure
sir.
I had the other comic take pictures.
Good. Michael, you hearing this?
I posted it.
I
even
just in case Mike listens too.
I even tagged him on
good,
Instagram.
Good.
Yeah, I included the picture of Race Out, one of the pictures of Race Odyssey in Iraq.
Yes.
And I sent that to Johnny.
Representing.
Race
Thank
so,
you.
So both of your many bosses,
yes,
have been made aware.
Thank you.
That their generosity for merchandise.
One of my bosses given out to my two other bosses. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Has been rewarded.
My employers. Thank you.
Spreading the word. So really. Give me more shit. That's the message there. Anyway, so we got Gary and Linda with Popcorn and Perrier and Grayling Lake with Runaway. And you can learn more about both of them at deucemusic.com. Listen to those two bands. Then we'll be back. We'll start with some Joe Santa Hell gigs. We'll do our Lake Superior State Band words. All sorts of fun stuff.